Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Sarah, and I hope that you are having you've had a wonderful weekend since it's almost over. Today is Sunday, June 10th, and we will be talking about the lectionary lessons assigned for this Sunday, the week of this Sunday, June 10th, which is the third Sunday after Pentecost. So, as I said, I hope you've had a great weekend. I hope you have... If you have a worshiping community, you were able to enjoy that this morning, or maybe you tried somewhere new, I don't know, but hope you found some time to worship and be in community today. If not, well, maybe then you can use this podcast. I don't know. I'm not gonna say that you should use this podcast as a replacement for church, or that, I don't know. I'm not even gonna finish that sentence. All right, so... Third Sunday after Pentecost, and as with last week, we have two Old Testament texts plus the Psalms, so the assigned Old Testament text plus an alternative. So we'll start with the assigned Old Testament text. That comes to us from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 8 through 15. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." So again, Genesis 3, 8 through 15, not... my favorite passage. You know, there's a lot of things that we can take away from this. The man and the woman were given this amazing place to live by God, and the only caveat was don't eat of that one tree. And, you know, you can make a lot of arguments as to why that was. God didn't want them to have the same knowledge that God did, but then God also gave them free will, so they were able to make a choice, and then they were tricked by the serpent. I don't really appreciate how the man kind of throws the woman under the bus. You know, he doesn't say, "Yes, I ate it," but no, because the woman gave it to me, so I ate. And then the woman in turn throws the snake under the bus and said that the serpent tricked me and I ate. Neither of them are really taking taking responsibility for their own actions and just saying, "Yes, we ate of the tree that you told us not to. We made a choice regardless of whether the snake tricked me or my wife gave it to me." There was a choice there. So, yeah, not my favorite passage. This is part of our origin story so that we know why there is sin in the world, because the man and the woman ate of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So, you know, people needed explanations for why people make the choices that they do. And sin seemed like a reasonable enough explanation. Okay, so where does sin come from? Well, we must have done something that made God angry. And so we have origin stories. Does this mean this story is literally true? Probably not. Was there a literal Garden of Eden? Probably not. You know, you can have origin stories and science. You can have the Big Bang and the creation story, because in my mind, God created the universe, just maybe not exactly literally the way it says in Genesis. But we have this relationship with God, and we also have the ability to make choices. And so God can tell us, you know, I don't want you to do this. And we can justify our choices in any number of ways. We can say that we were tricked. We can say that this person or that told us to do it, and so we did. It wasn't our fault. You know, we as humans can justify a lot of things, and we've been doing so for a long time. And so the story really does make sense if you are thinking of it as, okay, we are a group of people. We are in relationship with God, in whom we believe, and who has done so much for us. So why do we keep acting like we do? Well, let's try to figure that out. So there is a theme, a little bit of a theme going on in the readings for this week. And that is the theme of choice, as I was talking about, the choice between listening to God or listening to other voices. And if we look at some commentary on this set of verses. This week it comes from Vanessa Lovelace, Associate Professor of Hebrew Bible at the Interdenominational Theological Center in Atlanta, Georgia. She says that, you know, here we have this story of the man and the woman after they've eaten the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in direct violation of God's command. And so subsequently their eyes are open to their nakedness. They've clothed themselves. Now they're worried because they hear God coming through the garden, and they know they've done, they've done what they weren't supposed to. So I like what she says. She says, the reader is immediately struck by the image of a deity with human characteristics. The Hebrew word translated in English as sound also means noise, voice, thunder, or even message or proclamation. The reader might not have been surprised by the notion of the sound of God. Portrayals of God appearing in forms such as the reverberating sound of thunder, which causes mountains to shake or trees to quake, is a common one in the Old Testament. However, conjuring the sound of dry leaves or twigs crushing under the deity's feet as God walks through the garden may take a little more imagination. So we've got this story, and it's really interesting to see how God is described. Maybe you've never really thought of it before, that God is, they hear God walking through the garden. We have, she refers to it as the anthropomorphic characterization of the deity, which is a lot of syllables to say that this description of God is very human-like, you know, that God is walking through the forest, so God must have feet of some sorts. But this characterization of God as seemingly human suggests that God may have been seeking out the communion of the humans. However, the man and the woman have hidden themselves when they hear God approach. So, yeah. So naked, she titles this next section, Naked and Afraid. I don't know if you've ever seen that show, but I like that she made that reference. So the suspense builds when God calls out to the man, inquiring his whereabouts. Where are you? And, you know, we probably figure God already knows where the man is, but still gives the opportunity. Where is God, or where is the man? And then the man does answer and says, well, you know, I was afraid. I was naked. I hid. And so then, of course, God figures out, you know, you're naked. Obviously, you've done what I told you not to do. God probably already knew that, but gave the humans the chance to at least say what they had done. And so we get the scene where then, okay, well, the woman that you gave to me gave me the fruit. The serpent tricked her into doing this. So, yeah, so she goes and say, of the three protagonists, only the serpent is cursed. So you know, there may be the other images later of them being thrown out of the Garden of Eden, but we don't have that here. And so the woman's decision to listen to the serpent has dire consequences for the couple. Yet contrary to later interpretations, the woman is not responsible for the origin of sin in the world. And remember, there are there's often different tellings of the same story in the Old Testament. And so here we have that. And in this version, the woman is not responsible for the origin of sin. Let's just be clear about that. Or for the quote-unquote fall of humankind. In fact, neither of those words, sin or fall, appear in this narrative. Nevertheless, God's interrogative, "Who told you that you were naked?" is a cautionary reminder to take heed to whose voice you choose to listen to. And I think that's probably a pretty good reminder in this text. Not my favorite text, but it does remind us, whose voice are you listening to? Are you listening to the serpent who says, "Oh, it's okay, you can eat this. Didn't why would God not let you do this? Go ahead, it'll be fine. God's forgiving," right? Or, you know, do you listen to those voices that try to turn you away from God? Or do you listen to God's voice? And only you and I can answer those questions for ourselves. We can't answer them for each other. We have to look at every choice we make and try to figure out whose voice we are listening to. Are we listening to the world? Are we listening to peer pressure? Are we listening to guilt or other emotions that might be turning us away from listening to God? There's all kinds of things that can make us not listen to God, and we as humans are really good at justifying those choices and saying, "Well, no, I really was listening to God, but X, Y, and Z." So, really good reminder, whose voice are you listening to? On that note, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we'll be looking at the alternate Old Testament text for this week. Stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, and I will be right back.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome back to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast. We are speaking today about the lectionary texts assigned for this week of June 10th, the third Sunday after Pentecost. Just looked at the text from Genesis, and now we're moving on to the alternative Old Testament text, which comes to us from 1 Samuel. It's rather lengthy. It is chapter 8, verses 4 through 20, and chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. So those verses are as follows. "Then all of the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, 'You are old, and your sons do not follow in your ways. Appoint for us then a king to govern us like other nations.' But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, 'Give us a king to govern us.' Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, 'Listen to the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them, just as they have done to me from the day I brought them up out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so also they are doing to you. Now then, listen to their voice. Only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them.' So Samuel reported all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, 'These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest, and to make his implements of war and the equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his courtiers. He will take 1/10 of your grain and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and his courtiers. He will take your male and female slaves and the best of your cattle and donkeys and put them to his work. He will take 1/10 of your flocks, and you shall be his slaves. And in that day you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will not answer you in that day. But the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel. They said, "No, but we are determined to have a king over us, so that we may also be like other nations, and that our king may govern us and go out before us and fight our battles." Samuel said to the people, "Come, let us go to Gilgal and there renew the kingship." So all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. There they sacrificed offerings of well-being before the Lord, and there Saul and all the Israelites rejoiced greatly. So again, that is 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 through 20, and chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. And again, we have that theme of listening to God, or in this case, not listening to God through Samuel. The Israelites, as you know, had a complicated relationship with God. Even after God brought them out of slavery, out of the land of Egypt, they still, you know, they were kind of like rebellious teenagers, I think. They chafed, it seemed like, under the relationship they had with God, you know? They complained that they were brought out of Egypt to starve or die of thirst in the wilderness. God provided them food. Then they complained about other things, and, you know, God provided them a means of the cloud of fire and the cloud of the pillar of cloud and fire to lead them. Moses went up to speak to God, and when Moses was gone, they went a little crazy and created the golden calf and began to worship the golden calf. And so, you know, they're just not quite getting it. and then, you know, they want more. They apparently it's just not enough that God is in relationship with them, that God has done all of the things for them that are recorded in the Old Testament, up to and including bringing them out of Egypt. They always want more. So first they want prophets, and, you know, God gives them prophets, but they don't want to listen to the prophets. And then they decide, you know what we need? We need judges. Prophets aren't doing it, so give us some judges. Okay, well, no, they're not going to listen to the judges either. Finally, they decide, we need a king. That's what we need. We need a king like other nations. And they tell this to Samuel, and Samuel is displeased because they want a king. You know, they've asked for prophets, they've asked for judges, they haven't listened to either, and now they want a king, and Samuel is upset. So prays to God about it, and God says, go ahead, give them what they want, but warn them as to what kind of a king this is going to be. And so Samuel says to them, this is exactly how it's going to be, you know, and it doesn't sound great. The king is going to take all of these things from you. And there's that whole list. It's many verses of what the king is going to take. And the people are like, cool, we want a king. We're fine with that. Yep, we just want a king. We're not going to listen. You can warn us. It won't be like that. It'll be fine. We just want a king. And so they get a king, and then they're not happy with the king. The king turns out to be a human who doesn't always make the best choices and, you know, doesn't always make the choices they want the king to make. So then they're upset with the king. Very, very kind of wishy-washy people, we might think. And yet, they're human. They're, you know, how often do we do that too? We want this. This is exactly what we want. X, Y, Z, and 1, 2, 3. We have it all listed out. And then when we get exactly what we want, we're like, oh, you know what? This isn't working. This isn't fun. I don't like this. We as humans are complicated and, you know, a little self-centered, and we don't always listen to God. God keeps trying. That's the amazing thing about God, is that God keeps trying. So just like Genesis, when we finished that with whose voice are you listening to? Well, God is always talking to us. God sends us prophets. God sent us Jesus. We've got the Bible to turn to and look at, and yet we always have, you know, I know it says this, but I'm going to ignore that part and focus on this part over here. Or I am going to make up excuses for why I don't really have to pay attention to this part. Jesus says love one another, but that person over there, I can't stand that person over there. So I'm pretty sure Jesus didn't mean that person, right? There's got to be something to justify why I can hate that person. It's okay, right? Yeah, not so much. So we as humans are always turning away from God, and God is always there saying, yep, I know. Okay, go ahead. Go and figure it out. I'll be here when you come back. And that to me is the amazing thing about God, is that God's still there. God gives us warnings. God gives us leaders. God gives us prophets, and we don't often listen, but God is still there, loving us, being in relationship with us, and waiting for us to turn back to God, to go out and make choices and make mistakes and figure things out on our own, because, you know, we don't always want to listen to someone else. We want to figure things out on our own, and then we figure things out and we're like, you know what? That didn't work out as well as I'd hoped. Maybe I'll go back and see what God has to say about this. And so we do. And then we think, oh, yeah, I don't like this. I'm going to go figure things out on my own again. So whose voice are we listening to? That's something that I'm going to think about a lot this week. Whose voice am I listening to? We are going to take our second break of the podcast. When we come back, we'll be talking about the psalm assigned for this week. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast. If today's verses or today's texts have a theme, it might be whose voice are you listening to? To whom are you listening? And so we've talked about both of the assigned Old Testament texts, the reading from Genesis and the alternate reading from 1 Samuel. So now we will turn to the psalm for this week. And that psalm is Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. More than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. Again, that is Psalm 130. Not a long psalm, only 8 verses. And it's interesting if in the first two readings we could say whose voice is it that we are listening to. Here in Psalm 130, we really want God to listen to us. The psalmist is begging, pleading, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications." And isn't that also human nature? You know, we think we really are like toddlers. we want to do it our own way. Toddlers are teenagers, you know, or really stubborn adults. All of those work. We want to do it our own way. No, I'll do it myself. No, I don't want to listen to you. I can figure it out for myself. Thank you very much. But when it comes to wanting God to listen to us, we really want God to listen to us. Okay, I know I've been ignoring you for the past certain amount of time, but I need you to pay attention to me now. I am in despair, and I really need you to pay attention to me. Where are you? Does it sound familiar? I can say it sounds familiar. I mean, I try to be in conversation with God about good and bad, about Thanksgiving as well as petition, about just kind of everyday things, you know? I try to make my prayer life be like a conversation with God. And I often fail miserably at that. And I find myself turning to God when I am in despair. And I think, when was the last time I talked to God about what I was happy about? When was the last time I said thank you? When was the last time I just said, you know, this is what happened today, and I saw you at work in what happened today? Maybe it wasn't good, maybe it wasn't bad, maybe it was just a regular old day, but God, I saw you at work in that day. When was the last time I did that? When was the last time I listened for God in the depths of my despair? You know, we want to say, yeah, I'm crying out to you, God, where are you? But we don't always listen to hear God's response, or when we hear God's response, it might not be the response that we want or the timing that we want. And so, yeah, listening is a really important theme for this week. Not only who we are listening to, you know, are you listening to the voices of the world around you? Are you listening for God's voice? But also, you know, are you listening for God's voice? When you're making choices, are you listening to that voice of the world, or are you listening to God? But also, are you just listening for God when you are in prayer? Is it a conversation, or is it a one-way street? Are you just, you know, throwing up all the things that you need, that you're pleading for? They might, you know, and I'm not saying that they're always selfish. You know, you're praying for other people. You're concerned for your loved ones and those who have things going on in their lives as well. But how often do we listen? I know I'm not always great at it. Even when I do try to be more conversational in my prayer life, more just like chatting about how things are going, what's going on, I'm not always great at the listening part. And I'll be honest, sometimes when I make a conscious effort, I'm going to listen. I'm going to just take some moments of quiet and I'm going to listen. I can get sidetracked. I cannot get the voices in my head to shut up. You know, those voices that are always like, oh, we need to do this. Oh, let's do the to-do list. Oh, I need to go grocery shopping. Or I fall asleep while I'm listening. You know, there's all kinds of things that can interfere with listening for God. But how are you listening to God? How often are you listening for God's voice? I think that for me is really what I'm going to focus on this week, is not only whose voice am I listening to, you know, am I listening to the people around me? Am I listening to the voices in my head that are trying to justify my decisions? Or am I really listening for that still small voice of God to help guide me to the right decisions? And am I listening for God and to God in my prayer life? Or am I just leading a one-sided conversation? My prayer life should not be like this podcast. In the podcast, I'm sitting alone in the studio and I am talking to you, but you're not here with me, so you aren't engaging in conversation back with me. My prayer life shouldn't be like me sitting in a studio talking to God like it's a podcast. Because like you, I know God is out there. But unlike you, who can't respond to me immediately through this podcast, you can respond to me other ways, social media, you know, et cetera, et cetera. There's ways that we can be in conversation, but there's lots of ways that God can be in conversation too. So my prayer life, this sounds like something that I should cross stitch on a pillow. My prayer life should not be like a podcast. It should be like a conversation with God. So that's probably a silly enough ending for this episode. Thank you so much for joining me. Join me again on Wednesday when we'll be turning to the New Testament texts assigned for this week. Those are from 2 Corinthians and the Gospel of Mark. I hope you have a wonderful week. I will talk to you again on Wednesday. In the meantime, as you're listening for God, also please do remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.